This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off. It's better over
here. AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free, all on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Pay off up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
Is over and it's time to talk about what happened. We'll go inside the locker room, dive into the numbers, and take your calls on the Green Bay Football Postgame Show, driven by Young Express, your locally owned national freight service provider. Success drives them. Let's get to Steve Sparky Pfeiffer to talk about today's game on The Fan.
Woo-hoo! That is a win for your Green Bay Packers, and it's just never easy, is it? It's just never, ever easy for the Green Bay Packers. Hey, all right, let's open up the phone line. Let's go. I know when they win, y'all don't like to praise them and be too happy about things, but there's some bad things to talk about as well as some positive things in this one. 414-677-1250. 414-677-1250. Tweet us at 1250 AM The Fan. Hey, on the other side of the glass is my guy, Tommy Wirtz, and always fun to have him joining me. Packers, I should say. I almost said Brewers. Whoops. Packers improved to 3-2. Sean McVay's Rams fall to 1-4 after a 24-19 Packers victory in this one. And like I said, there's good and there's bad to talk about. Now, I don't know which one we're supposed to start with, but I'll tell you which one I'm going to start with. We're going to start talking about Jordan Love. That's where we're going to start. We're going to start with the quarterback today. He wasn't very good for a good, half to three quarters of this game. He wasn't good in the first half at all. That ball that he threw for that play down to like the one by Jaden Reed, it was a horrible decision. I mean, he got it there and Jaden Reed caught it. So I was like, oh man, that's the best throw Jordan Love made all season. Yeah, but it wasn't smart. It was not a smart throw. It was a horrible decision. And to a degree, he got lucky that he completed it, but it was not a good decision, Tommy Wirtz.
Yeah, it was one of those throws that you thought, oh boy, as soon as he threw it, and somehow it fell into Jaden Reed's lap. It was on the money. It was just played terribly by the defense for Los Angeles. So the decision was bad. The throw was good, if that makes sense, right?
Yes.
I think that we've seen that with Jordan Love with his deep ball on occasion, too. We just get a little nervous about it. But, I mean, Jaden Reed, a heck of a grab there. It was...
Concentration was through the roof good.
Yeah, there's three guys right there ready to make a play for L.A.
Yep, and the defenders were horrible at trying to defend it. So that's the first thing on Jordan Love. Second thing on Jordan Love, he was still missing guys. Just flat out missing guys. The first throw of the game, he missed a guy. Now, do we blame Jordan Love for drops? No. Right? Dontayvion Wicks, Reed dropped one right in his chest. I mean, so there were drops again throughout this game that weren't necessarily his fault. At the end of the day, guys got to hold on to the ball and so forth. That play in the end zone, though. Now, people are tweeting out. Andy Herman was tweeting out from the Pack a Day podcast. Hey, man, let's not pull a Will Levis here. Because that was even more horrific play decision-making of any before. And I know, I get it, right? Oh, I don't want to give up 2 points and give him the ball. Right, so we'll give him a touchdown instead. That worked out well, right? That brilliant. He's falling to the ground. It wasn't even like he was standing up and made the decision. There's no way he saw what was happening there. The receiver that was on the play stopped running. And he threw it like he was expecting him to keep running. He stopped. Ram defender caught it. Barely stayed in bounds. And it ends up being the first pick six of Jordan Love's career. Like, Listen, there's too much bad right now in Jordan Love's game for this to be a Super Bowl team. And God bless Tony Romo for rah-rahing the Packers this entire broadcast, because that's what he was doing. Well, I know the Packers are going to come out of the NFC, and I know the Packers are going to be there. They're going to be a Super Bowl contender. Now, the Rams, on the other hand, they've got to figure this out and stay in this thing until they get healthy. And I'm watching this game, and I'm going, dude, like, I mean, I appreciate the love, but defensively, they have a lot left to be desired right now. Offensively, the quarterback has to play much better than he's playing. And they're giving up a bunch of pressures, it feels like to me, Tommy, on the offensive line.
Yeah, this was definitely the biggest disparity in line play we've seen so far. The offensive line was very shaken by the pressure, it seemed like, today from L.A. And the defensive line, that might have been their worst performance all season long, and we've been extremely critical of them.
Well, they got home a couple times. I mean, they got home more than they did last week, I think, against the Vikings. They took to the second half.
But what was the game plan that you wanted to come up with? It was, let's send pressure after Matthew Stafford the entire day, and they maybe blitzed. I would be shocked if it was 10% of the plays.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah. I said earlier in the week on Wisconsin Sports Daily, served up by Wendy's, that for me, I'm just run blitzing them. Like, he's got a bunch of receivers out there that aren't great necessarily, right? They're all kind of has-been guys that have been around the league. So, okay, I'm not gonna allow Kyren Williams necessarily to beat me. Stafford's not going to run around on me necessarily, but I'm sure the heck I'm not going to get gashed on the ground by Kyren Williams. Furthermore, if we go back to the offensive side of the football where we were talking about, man, they were like last in the league in stopping the run. Now, again, said this on Friday, too, on a Football Friday. Do you know how they've been gashed? Because teams have been running heavy sets against them. Did the Packers? Packers are running wide open shotgun. They weren't running heavy sets against them. They were running light sets like they always run. And then they weren't able to take advantage of the same way everybody else is taking advantage of it. Now, I have been a cheerleader and so forth of Matt LaFleur. But to me, how you decided to attack them on the ground was a huge mistake. You should have just copycatted everybody before you. They were all doing it out of the same kind of sets. That was my question going into this. Like, are we going to do the same thing and change game plan based on opponent? Or are we going to try and do what we do every week regardless of what the numbers tell us? And they try to do what they try to do every week. Were there positives? Yeah, there were some positives in this thing as far as running the football and so forth. They even had a screen pass work with Josh Jacobs. That was nice to see, 21 yards or whatever it was. So there was a positive there involving a running back. But still, you did not get accomplished on the ground what you should have got accomplished on the ground in this game.
No, and they weren't effective running in between the tackles all day. Any successful run plays, it seemed like it was Josh Jacobs had to make a guy miss if he did run between the tackles, or they were doing those end arounds with Jaden Reed and whoever else to make something stretch the field a little bit more.
Right.
They could not run the football up the middle for anything today. And you know, one of their better runs of the day would turn into the scramble from Jordan Love. I think that might have been their longest run of the day, even.
That was 12 yards.
Yeah. You know, oh, okay. So it was right behind. Even still, with the terrible rush defense that the Rams have, you need one play to break a little bit longer.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and you couldn't get anything going necessarily the way you wanted. At one point early in the game, I thought, honestly, the Packers were averaging 5 yards. And then they just went away from it.
Yeah.
They stopped running the football. They said, oh, good, we're just going
to
throw it now.
And they tried to do it at the end of the game on the, I think it was the fourth drive, you know, like one of the first drives. There was that long drive they had. They ended up committing a infraction of some sort, like an illegal shift or a false start that made it first and 15 with 6:55 left. And they threw the ball three times in a row and three straight incompletions. That was terrible play calling by Matt LaFleur there. You need to get the clock running at least for one play and waste some more time. It was very valuable seconds that at the end of the game the Rams would have paid for to have.
Now, the one that was worst play calling of the weekend came in the Bills-Texans game where Josh Allen, with the lead, was it the lead or were they tied? No, I think they were tied. Was throwing the football out of his own end zone three straight plays and allowing the Texans time to possibly get a field goal to win it. They got one play. They throw it over the middle, call timeout, and then Fairbairn comes in and drills a 50-plus yard field goal.
Yeah.
Like, what were you thinking? Like, McDermott is going to be on the hot seat for sure this week. They lost. What you're talking about with LaFleur is absolutely right. But the Packers won, and it's not going to be a talking point.
No, it won't be. And Matt LaFleur, I mean, I think he was trying to get, out-coach McVay a little bit in that moment. That was the fun stat, I guess, you get is undefeated against Sean McVay. That's pretty impressive for
sure.
Matt LaFleur, right?
Yep. Doesn't have the same feeling against Kyle Shanahan.
No, correct. But I do think that he was trying to make a play that, you know, they ran like the RPO on that first and 15 or whatever it was to Jaden Reed, and Love missed the throw. And then instead of just, all right, we'll take third and 12 or something, and they tried to throw it again. And LaFleur, well, now it's third and 15.
Right.
You got to try to get the first down through the air. So I don't know. I thought that he got a little too cute at the end of the game there.
I don't disagree. And this, again, is something that we talked about when Malik Willis was playing, right? We said, okay, when Jordan Love comes back, are they going to have the same type of mentality as far as running the football? Will they be as aggressive as they have been? And guess what? They weren't! They haven't been! It's gone back to kind of what we watched last year, which I knew was going to happen. He's a much better quarterback than Malik Willis. You should spread it out. You should throw it. But this is my thing. When you realize he's not the same, you saw that early, then maybe it's like, okay, maybe we'll take advantage of this. Maybe I'll run a little bit more heavier sets and we'll try and pound the ball against these guys. But you didn't do that. And you continue to run them back out there and let them wing it and wing it and wing it. Again, they won. I'm happy they won. I feel like we started off the first 11 minutes of the show. It's a losing postgame show. But there are a lot of negatives inside of this victory. There just are. Like, we could sit here and talk about, okay, they're 3-2. And I'm happy about that. And I am happy about that. But they got a lot of work to do, folks. It's only week 5. Thank God. Right? You got 12 more games to play. But they got a lot of work to do ahead of them. The quarterback's got to start playing much better at some point. And the defense better figure out how to knock down a quarterback consistently for 4 quarters. Because if that doesn't happen, when you play quarterbacks that have weapons, it's going to be a problem. Now, Nico Collins got hurt right today for the Texans. He went down with that hamstring injury. Now, they got the Texans coming up here in a couple weeks. Now, if he's not right, that's benefit Packers. Because then, yes, Tank Dell, who hasn't done much of anything, and he's been hurt on and off, and Stephon Diggs. But that's one less weapon for the Texans for C.J. Stroud. So that helps. Kyler Murray and the Cardinals, he's running around with a 50-yard touchdown run earlier today and so forth. So you're going to have to play him like you played Jalen Hurts, like you played Richardson to a degree. So now next week, there's no way they're blitzing next week. They're not going after Kyler Murray next week because they're going to be afraid he's going to take off running up the field.
Yeah, and they are a pass rush away. I mean, their pass rush just has to be 50% better from being an elite defense right now. They are
like the worst in the league.
Right. If they could get up to middle of the pack pass rushing, their defense would be unstoppable almost at this point. They are getting great production out of the safeties in the secondary.
Evan Williams today was awesome.
Evan Williams is a stud. I was telling you as he comes in, and then he makes the big play at the end of the game. I mean, Xavier McKinney is now in Defensive Player of the Year conversations.
5 for 5. Five games, five picks.
And then did you see the huge sack from Edgerrin Cooper in the first? I mean, that's another guy we were trying to say. Let's get him involved more. He's an athletic freak. Mm-hmm. And you mentioned whenever they got pass rush, it was from up the middle. It was not from an edge of Van Ness or of Gary hitting the outside. I mean, the biggest play an edge rusher made today was the Enoch Barry fumble. And then after that, those guys were absent again.
Yep. No, I totally agree with you on that. My other thing on this is when we talk about the coordinator and what he's doing, he's had to play without his best corner the last 2 weeks without Jair Alexander. They got Valentine back today, which is great. But Eric Stokes, buddy. I mean, you had to play there at the end, which was nice. But he's got to provide something here at some point. He just does. He's a former first-round pick. I know he's been hurt for a couple of years, and he's had his issues, and I understand all of that. But you've got to give me more than what you're giving me at this point in time. It just has to be something more than what we're seeing kind of going forward from Eric Stokes. Because if Jair Alexander isn't going to play again next week against the Cardinals, which he may not, you're going to run out there the same crew again. Somebody other than Xavier McKinney has got to make plays in the secondary. Now, Evan Williams showed a little bit today. Bullard showed a little bit last week with a big play. So the rookie safeties are starting to show you a little something, whether they're playing in the slot like Bullard or whether or not they're playing back at safety like Williams. You're starting to get stuff there. But these corners have to start playing better.
Yeah, and especially with, you know, do you like Eric Stokes covering Marvin Harrison Jr. next week?
Absolutely freaking not.
I do not.
And I'm guessing that's going to be Valentine.
They need to try to get Jair back by next week. And, you know, the soft tissue injuries, they're always a couple weeks, right? It always feels like whenever you pull something, it's never you're missing one game. You're always going to miss two. But, man, if they could get him healthy, ready to come back and have him, you know, is Stokes going to have to cover Stephon Diggs or something in the future again? You know, I just don't feel comfortable with it at all.
Stokes and Valentine are on the field. I want Valentine on the better receiver. I'll make that proclamation right now, and I will live with that proclamation going forward. If there is no Jair, I'd rather have Valentine on him.
Wow, and that's a very depressing statement.
This is why. I'll tell you why. I'd rather have Valentine because I know Valentine may gamble, may lose, but he may gamble and win and get a game-changing, difference-making play.
Yeah.
Every time I see Stokes, he's running behind guys.
Well, he fell down on the touchdown at the end,
but that
too.
Happens. I'm not going to be mad at him at that. He's lost his footing, whatever it happens. Whenever that type of stuff happens, I'm not going to be overly critical of a player for losing his footing. Like, okay, it happens. Guys fall down from time to time on the paint of the end zone or on the field. They get slippery and they slip and they fall. And in that case, that's what happened. He slipped and he fell, and it is what it is. My bigger issue just is when you constantly see quarterbacks throwing and he's the guy chasing in coverage. That's when I'm like, okay, now you're just kind of picking on him. And I haven't seen targets against as far as how many targets were against him versus Valentine or somebody else in that secondary. But I swear to God, it felt like 21 was chasing a lot.
Yeah.
That's what it felt like to me. But even though we've done 16 minutes and have been negative for 16 minutes of the beginning of this show, the Packers did win the game after all. Yes, 24-19 over the Rams. If you'd like to be positive, if you'd like to be negative, it doesn't really matter. Phone lines are here for you. Let's go. Let's chat. Let's talk. 414-677-1250. 414-677-1250. Tweet us as well. And also, do not forget Wisconsin Sports Daily, served up by Wendy's weekday afternoons from 2 to 5. I'll be here tomorrow afternoon on a Green and Gold Monday. Charlie Hughes and my producer will be here as well. Looking forward to talking more about this Packers game tomorrow. Still to come on this show, looking to hear from Matt LaFleur, looking to hear maybe from a little Jordan Love and whoever else we can run down from the Packers locker room, all straight ahead here on a Green Bay football postgame show driven by Young Express, live from the Pottawatomie Sportsbook Studios on 1250 AM, The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age: wisdom, experience, and knowledge. Just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain. All symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. Midi clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. Midi offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's join, M-I-D-I.
Let's go inside the box score. Built by Steelwind Industries, a family-owned and operated heavy-duty fabrication facility located in Oak Creek. It's the Green Bay Football Postgame Show, driven by Young Express with Steve Sparky Pfeiffer on The Fan.
All right, here we go. Packers get the victory over the LA Rams 24-19 today. Time now to head inside the box score. My sincere thanks to Steelwind Industries, my folks over there in Oak Creek. Great fabrication shop. They do all kinds of great work over there, whether it be painting, fabrication, anything you could possibly want done over there at Steelwind Industries. I call them the guardian angel of our toy drive that we'll be back doing again first week in December. Blaine's Farm and Fleet in Oak Creek. Looking forward to that as well. So the Packers get the win 24-19, and we are broadcasting from the Pottawatomie Sportsbook Studios here on the Green Bay Football Post Game Show, driven by Young Express. Jordan Love on the day, 15 of 26, 224 yards, a couple of touchdowns, and one interception. And this obviously is going to be the play everybody's talking about.
Love, deep drop, deep throw. Three Rams are down there, but it's caught by the Packers. Jaden Reed at the one-yard line.
Again, as we talked about earlier, highlights courtesy of CBS 58. As we talked about earlier, it was a horrible decision to make that throw. It worked. Jaden Reed had unbelievable concentration with people jumping up in front of him and made that catch, and it looks amazing. And I saw people tweeting, oh, that's the best throw he's made in his entire career. It was also wasn't the smartest of throws he's made in his entire career as well, if we're being honest at that one, about that one. Josh Jacobs on the day today, 19 carries, 73 yards for him, and this.
Just outside of a yard away, first and goal. Jacobs. Bouncing. Gonna cut it outside. And Jacobs waiting for the signal. Touchdown.
Touchdown indeed. His first touchdown as a member of the Green Bay Packers. So that was nice. Emmanuel Wilson, 6 carries for 24 yards. Jaden Reed, 2 for 19. And Jordan Love, 3 for 10. Longest run on the day, Jacobs by 13 yards. Love with 12, Reed with 11. As far as catches go, well, we all know all about Tucker Kraft doing his thing as well, highlighted by this one right here.
Wide open. He's got Kraft. His tight end's running with a stiff arm. Kraft's going the distance. Tucker Kraft.
Tucker Kraft with a big touchdown there, 66 yards from Jordan Love. He had a essentially stiff arm and get through two tackles on the way to the end zone, but a great play there by Jordan Love finding a wide open Tucker Kraft. He wasn't done, however. No, he wasn't. He came back and got another one later.
It's to Kraft. Kraft fighting for it. Did he get in? They're going to mark him down.
After replay assist, ruling on the field is a touchdown.
That was from 7 yards out. That made it 24-13 Packers, and they absolutely hold on to win 24-19. Kraft on the day, 4 catches, 88 yards on 5 targets. Jaden Reed, 4 catches, 78 yards, including that long touchdown, or long pass catch, I should say. 6 targets on the day for Jaden Reed. Josh Jacobs, 1 catch on that screen pass, 21 yards. 1 target. Dontavian Wicks, you ready? 2 catches, 20 yards, 7 targets. He had 13 targets last week and caught, what?
I think it was
half
like
to three
yeah,
quarter
it was
of
like 7 or
7
6.
Catches for on 13 targets or something crazy like that.
He is a pure example, if you're showing some young child how to play wide receiver, of don't look where you're going to run before you catch the ball. Mm-hmm. He is prime example of it.
Yep. And I understand everybody gets upset on Twitter. He stinks. Quit throwing the football. He's awful. Listen, I'm going to rewind back in time when I used to be overly critical and overanalyze things, right? Y'all remember that Davante Adams couldn't catch anything early in his career. He couldn't catch a cold, right? Dropping balls all over the place like James Jones used to do too at the beginning of his career. Same thing. And then they figured it out, and away they went.
Yeah, he might be the best route runner on the team.
I am not going to sit here and give up on Dontavian Wicks and be like, oh, don't throw him the ball. He keeps dropping it. No. No. Again, he might be one of the best wide receivers in this league if he ever holds on to the stupid football. Last week, when people went back and watched the film, they said they could have thrown it to him more than 13 times. He was open all day for the Packers last week. They're not going to give up on him. You just hope that eventually he starts holding on to some of these balls and goes off and has 2 or 3 weeks where he just dominates the game. That's what you want. So, again, right now, yeah, we can say Jaden Reed is number one wide receiver based on catches and yards, for sure. Go based on targets, though. Hey, man, Dontavian Wicks is going to be right there. Malik Heath, 2 catches, 14 yards for him on 3 targets. Bo Melton, 1 catch for 12 yards on 2 targets. And Emmanuel Wilson, one backwards, one for a negative 9 on that one target as well. Defensive stats today. 10 tackles for Evan Williams, 4 solo, 2 passes deflected, obviously, there, or defended. Quay Walker, 9-6 solo, one tackle for a loss. McDuffie, 9-3 for solo. Javon Bullard, 8-5 solo tackles there. Eric Stokes, 7-3 solo tackles. Let's get to the sacks and get through all the rest of these numbers. A sack for Adrian Cooper, we talked about. Half a sack for Preston Smith when he had the quarterback by the legs, if you remember, when Carl Brooks got to him. And Brooks had a sack and a half total for him. As far as quarterback hits go, 2 by Kenny Clark. Hey, he still plays for the Packers. 3 for Carl Brooks. 1 for Kingsley Engabare. I want to see the snap count total on this one because I felt like Engabare was getting a bunch of snaps over Rashawn Gary. I don't know if anybody else was noticing it, but it felt like that way to me.
That could just be the production of Rashawn Gary, too, this season. Yep. So,
TJ Slayton, 1 quarterback hit. Preston Smith with a quarterback hit. Edrin Cooper with 2 quarterback hits. Last week, they hit the quarterback 3 times. This week, they hit him 10. Again, like I said, the majority of this was in the second half. Majority of this was not in the first half. They were getting more pressure, it felt like, in the second half, especially once they realized that they had to throw a little bit more once you had that lead. But still, at the end of the day, if you're only going to bring 4 or 5, they have to win more regularly. The left side of that line was all beat up. They showed the graphic during the game. The left tackle and the left guard were out.
Yeah.
Both of them.
I think that this needs an asterisk, too, by it. I would love to see what they're counting as a QB hit, because the Rams maybe ran 10 screen plays today where they just completely didn't allow anyone to get touched. So if they're counting a QB hit on that and Stafford knows he's going to get hit on that play, I think that's... I would like to see if they are counting those plays as it, too, because it sure seemed like... And any time they ran a no-huddle offense, our D-line looked so gassed the entire game and the entire play. They were never getting pressure on a hurry-up offense.
Quarterback hits, Rams to Jordan Love. How many do you think there was?
Did he get sacked? Well, probably the safety. I don't know, like
he got 5? Sacked twice. He got sacked twice by Kobe Turner.
5?
3.
Okay.
2 sacks, 2 quarterback hits for Kobe Turner, 1 hit by Bryan Young, and that was Byron Young, and that's it. Now, remember, though, he was doing a lot of throwing it away, throwing pick sixes, and so forth, I guess, to a certain degree.
Hey, he can move a lot better today.
Yeah.
That scramble was huge. The knee obviously looks a lot better in a week.
I agree. If we look at numbers overall, Matthew Stafford, 29 of 45 for 260, a touchdown and a pick. He got sacked 3 times. Kyren Williams, 22 for 102 and a touchdown. He looked really good. Blake Corum, 5 for 25. Tutu Atwell, 1 carry for 7. Jordan Whittington, who left hurt, it looked like, late in that game. 7 for 89 catching. Tutu Atwell, 6 for 58. Colby Parkinson, 7 for 52. DeMarcus Robinson, 3 for 28 in that one score. Hunter Long, 2 for 16. Blake Corum, 1 for 8. Xavier Smith, 2 for 6. Kyren Williams, 1 for 3. You want to talk about spreading the ball out. They spread the ball out for that St. Louis Rams team. And again, McVay gets credit, too, for scheming guys open a little. He does a good job of that, similar to LaFleur. He didn't have guys that were simply going to beat their guy one-on-one consistently, so you have to scheme him open.
Oh, he had a great game plan in the first half. It was keep away from the Packers the entire time. It was they had run 20 plays inside Green Bay's territory when Green Bay had one, and it was the Josh Jacobs rushing touchdown when it got into the second half. It was a very good game plan by Sean McVay to make sure Jordan Love didn't get the ball and Green Bay couldn't develop a rhythm on offense in that first half, and they didn't turn the ball over in the first half. Well, they did it immediately in the second half. Green Bay finds a rhythm, gets some momentum right back, and that's what lost them the game, was the third quarter.
Yep, that was it. Inside the Box, brought to you by Steelwind Industries in Oak Creek. Fabricating, painting, they do all kinds of great stuff over there. If you're looking for something like that, check them out. Steelwind Industries in Oak Creek, great sponsor of the Toy Drive as well, which we'll be doing again this year for Children's Wisconsin out there at Blaine's Farm and Fleet in Oak Creek. First week of December. Don't forget Wisconsin Sports Daily weekday afternoons from 2 to 5. Myself, Charlie Houston here each and every day this week, Monday through Friday. And in fact, out on location for the first time this week, Tommy Wirtz. Coming up on Friday, we'll be out at Pool Park in Menominee Falls. Dimension One spas, above ground pools, cleaning supplies for your pools, games for the pool as well. So come on out, hang out with me this Friday from 2 to 5 at Pool Park in Menominee Falls.
Are you and Charlie going to bring your floaties?
No, Charlie will be back here. I will be out there. And I have been debating, do I want to do it like from there? I don't feel like it's safe to be doing a broadcast from water.
Yeah, probably not.
You would agree?
It may be a little expensive to do that too when you have to buy new stuff.
Yeah, no. We just got new stuff. So if I ruin the new stuff we literally just bought and this is the first broadcast I'm using it, I'm a dead man. So yeah. let's just forget it.
All right, stay above
that.
Water.
Let's not do that. 24-19, Packers over the Rams. We're talking more about this defense, defensive play of the game, and take your calls if y'all want to talk about it. 414-677-1250, 414-677-1250. Also, don't forget, still to come, Matt LaFleur, Jordan Love. We'll hear from both of them straight ahead here on the Green Bay Football Postgame Show, driven by Young Express. Speaking of those fine gentlemen over there at Young Express, listen, they're looking for full-time independent contractors. Now, what does that mean? That means that you essentially are kind of your own boss to a certain degree, right? That means all you're doing is driving for a living, driving for your new career. So let's say they're looking for local drivers, which is what they're looking for. You're driving within about 250 miles of Milwaukee. That means they'll tell you, okay, dispatch will tell you, you're going to Fond du Lac. Sounds good. You're going to pick up this freight. They'll load it on into your Sprinter van or your cargo truck for you. And then you're going to drive it to, say, Kenosha. And then once you drop that off, and they'll take it out of your car for you, the truck for you, the whole deal. You call us back, and then you go to the next place. That's all you're doing. That's it. That's all. Nobody hovering over your shoulder. No annoying person sitting next to you in the cubicle next to you. None of that stuff. None of it. You simply get to be your own boss and go at your own pace. Now, obviously, you know, you need to get it to where it has to go in a timely manner. But at the end of the day, you're your own boss. So again, full-time independent contractors, local drivers looking to drive within 250 miles of Milwaukee, 99% no-touch freight. Join the Young Express team today. You can find them at youngexpress.com. That's J-U-N-G-Express.com. Young Express, success.
This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age. Wisdom, experience, and knowledge, just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain, all symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. Midi clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. Midi offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's join, M-I-D-I.
It's better over here. Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Drives them.
Show them what time it is!
The game is over, and it's time to talk about what happened. We'll go inside the locker room, dive into the numbers, and take your calls on the Green Bay Football Postgame Show. Driven by Young Express, your locally owned national freight service provider. Success drives them. Let's get to Steve Sparky Pfeiffer to talk about today's game on The Fan.
I tweeted it out just a couple of seconds ago. Quote tweeted the tweet by 1250 AM The Fan. And she said, are you concerned? You have concerns about this Packers team despite the fact that they won the game today. 24-19 over the LA Rams. As I put out there, I have many. And Tommy Wirtz and I discussed many of them back in the first segment of the show. And I'm hoping some of these will be alleviated when I hear from Matt LaFleur and Jordan Love coming up between now and 8 o'clock. I'm hoping that I'll feel better about the whole situation between now and then. Now, there were some positives, obviously, in the game. And if you want to dial it up, let's go 414-677-1250. 414-677-1250. Definitely some positives. Now, some of the positives involved the guy that just continues making interceptions.
Down the field, intercepted. And a fifth straight game. McKinney has an interception again. Tackled down at the 46.
Five interceptions in five games, highlight courtesy of CBS 58. We could talk about this defense not getting enough pressure, but clearly they got the right guy for the job when they signed Xavier McKinney, Tommy Wirtz.
Yeah, and they continue to make plays. That's what their defense is built on. They're going to give up yards. They're going to have soft coverages, but they have all the freedom in the world given to Xavier McKinney now. They have full trust in him. Not only did he intercept that ball, but he also recovered the fumble that came out. He has a nose for the football. He should have had a second interception in the game as well.
Yep.
Dropped one that went right through his hands. He's a playmaker, man, and he is probably the team MVP through the first five games of the season, I would say.
Yeah, I think it's hard to argue that he's not.
He's an absolute weapon, and they got him in free agency. It's one of their best free agents to start the season I can remember in a long time. Since maybe like a Za'Darius Smith, Preston Smith being that impactful in the beginning of their careers.
Yep, Adrian Amos was one of those guys too that came in that same class. Yeah, Za'Darius was very impactful right off the bat when they got him from the Baltimore Ravens. Xavier McKinney definitely worth the price of admission. It's just funny, man. Every time I see that, I'm just saying to myself, my God, how in the world, if you're the New York Giants, you allow a guy that is coming into his prime, that is that young, to just walk away and sign somewhere else in the conference like you did? You want to talk about a great present for Jeff Hafley coming in as new defensive coordinator to give him a safety to make his defense work. That's a gigantic thing. And we talked about this here the last couple of weeks as far as, you know, things this team is going to need kind of going forward. As far as, you know, trying to make this team better over the next couple of years. And obviously, they continue to draft defense. I'll tell you right now, if this defensive line doesn't figure it out and start getting more consistent pressure, namely, you know, the guys that you're paying the most money to up there up front, Clark and Rashawn Gary, that is going to be a problem. Because you're spending a lot of money on both of those guys. And Kenny Clark today made a couple of plays. I mean, the one play, nobody even touched him on the offensive line. He came untouched, and then Stafford threw a bad pass to Tutu Atwell. But I'm not sure I give him all the credit in the world for that. I mean, Tommy Wirtz could have ran up the field when nobody's going to guard him. But either way, Kenny Clark and Rashawn Gary have to do more. And like I said, I want to see snap counts because I feel like Engabari was out there quite a bit in place of Rashawn Gary. So looking forward to seeing what that looks like too. All right, 414-677-1250. Steve Sparky Pfeiffer with you. It's a Green Bay Football Postgame Show driven by Young Express live from the Pottawatomie Sportsbook Studios after a Packers victory. Nick in Greenfield, you're first up here on 1250 AM The Fan. What's up, Nick?
Hey, Sparky. My biggest concern about this Packers, I mean, they're soft, all right, but the first half play, I mean, it's similar to last year where in the second half they seem to pick it up and we're like, oh, we're getting close. But, I mean, these games wouldn't be as close and we'd be sweating if we were playing like we were in the second half in the first half. I mean, it's unbelievable.
The first half felt very blah to me. Like, we got to halftime and I was like, I just don't feel like they're really kind of into this nearly as much as maybe I thought they would be. And, again, you're in L.A. and all of that stuff. It just they just didn't seem very focused or organized or whatever you'd want to label that first half of football. Neither team really got it really going until the second half.
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. I mean, it seems like it takes one big play. You know, it could be a McKinney interception or just, I mean, even the bomb to Reed. I mean, even after that wasn't that, you know, hot and it was still kind of flat. But, I mean, they need something going to get them in the first half. I mean, having the playoff run last year, first half, out the gates, boom, no one could beat us. 49ers, sadly. But, I mean, if we get hot, who can beat us?
Well, that's it. I mean, that's what we're talking about. That's why Romo kept talking about how this team could come out of the NFC this year. Thanks for the call, Nick. That's the thing is, yes, we know what this offense can look like. By the way, Aaron Jones got hurt today in that game for the Vikings. I think it was a hip injury did he leave with?
Yeah, he had sprain. He didn't go right to the locker room, but when he tried warming up on the sidelines, he shut it down. Yeah. Yep.
And again, if you're Brian Gutekunst, you point to that and go, that's why we moved on, because he can't stay healthy.
Well,
he
look at how the former games. Green Bay quarterback played today, too. Did Rogers, you think
horrible.
Did you think that you missed him today? I didn't.
Not at all. No. But again, I mean, when we talk about Rodgers, dude, he was getting the crap beat out of him for a majority of that game.
Yeah.
He was. Like, when he hurt his knee, well, apparently he didn't because he came back in, but when he got bent backwards, like he did, and was writhing in pain, I was like, well, he might be done for the year again. There goes Aaron Rodgers, and there goes Salah's job and everybody else's job if he's done. But he didn't even miss a play. He went out. They had a penalty called on that special teams play, so they got the ball back and came right back out there. And continue to play. But no, he didn't look good. He threw a pick six himself, much longer than Jordan Love.
Well, and I
six.
Think the reason that we're coming off so critical is because we can see the high expectations that Matt LaFleur has, that this team should have. They have a lot of great weapons. They invested in new weapons also. We want to see the peak of this team, and they're winning games without even being at their peak. They won a game today with being far from their Agreed. Best offensive performance today, which is a good sign
and
as well.
Defensive performance.
Yes, that's a good sign as well. That is a good thing to win games when you don't play your best.
Wait. We're 45 minutes in this show and we didn't talk about the biggest thing in this game. What did we not talk about? 45 minutes and we haven't talked about
it. I was going to ask you, can I ask you a question, see if it's the right thing?
Sure.
Is Romeo Doubs a winner or a loser after today's game?
Don't care about him.
Oh.
No, that's not what it is.
What are you thinking?
Narvison didn't miss a kick.
Oh, God.
Hey!
All right. Yeah.
Woo!
Wow, good for
MVP!
Him.
MVP!
That's not the biggest thing out of this game.
Yeah, it has
no,
to be.
No,
he didn't
miss
a kick. He made a kick.
His kick that he made.
A kick.
The kick he made, you could tell was this is your job on the line kick. You could feel it. The announcers were literally saying, oh, he's nervous. He is nervous on the sideline. That was if you miss this kick, you are off this team kick.
He drilled it. It was no doubt. Yeah, right down the middle.
What was it, 47?
Yeah.
47?
Yeah.
He still has yet to make a 50-yarder this year.
Stop.
I am,
stop.
No.
You were the one last week talking about you can't be missing kicks inside a 40, for God's
yes,
sake.
Yes, I did. I'm still very critical. If they would have scored a touchdown, if the Rams would have scored a touchdown at the end of that game, if you have a 53-yarder for Narvison to win the game, do you want him to go out there and try to kick it, or do you want Jordan Love to throw a Hail Mary?
Hey, man, he hit a 59-yarder in the last preseason game for the Titans.
Oh, my gosh. I'm so sick of the preseason.
I don't care.
It's 5 weeks now. We are all the way away.
But he did it, though. He did do it. That's what I'm saying. He did do it.
Yeah. He makes it look windy in a dome when he kicks. I have no faith in him. I wrote in my tweet to go out at halftime that he made the kick just to see if I would reverse psychology it into him missing it. I almost was rooting for him or thinking that he's going to miss it, but I'm going to say he's going to make it before I even send it out.
Yep. Cornelius tweets at the fan and at Sparky Radio, I'm concerned. Jordan loves decisions and throws, and my biggest pet peeve is the lack of impact of Rashawn Gary and Kenny Clark. The defensive line doesn't win their one-on-one battles versus the run and the pass. Thank you, Cornelius. I love Cornelius. He's been a follower and a listener for a long time. This is my thing. You converted from a 3-4 to a 4-3 because you believed you had the horses to get home consistently running four or five guys. That was the thought process. And in training camp, against what we now see is what this offensive line is all about, they were getting home consistently. And they were getting pressure on the quarterback when it was one-on-one, ones versus ones, Packers and them. So you did see that a little bit in training camp. Outside of the Titans game, the first two games they said, well, you know, we want to contain the outside. We don't want them to run on us. So that's the reason we can't get home. Well, my God, that can be the reason why you couldn't get after Sam Darnold. That's certainly not the reason you can't get after the statue Matthew Stafford. Like, those reasons go flying out the window when you're taking on quarterbacks that don't run all that much. Levis, they got to. Great. And I thought, okay. Now they're not playing, you know, safe anymore because it's not a running quarterback. So now we should see some consistent pressure against Darnold and Stafford. It did not happen.
And it's not just...
And now Kyler Murray's next week, which means there's no way they're blitzing.
And it wasn't even just physical ability. It's awareness. It is awareness as well. Did you see how many times that the Rams would let the interior defensive linemen just go upfield because they knew they were running the ball today? I mean, they are playing very unaware when they are on the field right there. And a third name to throw in there, I'm putting Lucas Van Ness on that list too. Like, let's get something out of this guy who has been completely absent, it feels like, this entire season.
Listen, there's pressure on Van Ness because he's a first-round pick. I agree. But there's more pressure on Kenny Clark and Rashawn Gary
because they're getting paid. Absolutely.
Because they're getting paid, they're going to get more of it. But yes, as a first-round pick, you need to do something. I totally 1,000% agree with you. How about those Milwaukee Bucks, though? They're up 20-3 in the first exhibition game. Lillard looks good. Brooke Lopez looks good. Tommy Wirtz could care less. Yeah, don't care. I'm very excited.
Don't care. It's as valuable as a Narvison 59-yarder to win a preseason game.
See, you just hate the kid, huh? You just hate the kid?
I want him to prove me wrong. That's what I want. Today he satisfied. He was sufficient today. I will give him that credit, but I didn't earn any more faith in him than I did last week.
All right, Brandon tweets, totally different sport, but when the Brewers decided to ignore the growing pains and play the kids, it turned out great. Play Coop, play Bullard, play Williams. I think they did play all three of them for the most part today.
Oh, yeah, that was...
They definitely played them all.
They were impactful today. I mean, other than Xavier McKinney, who had a better day than Evan Williams.
Yes.
And Edgerrin Cooper had the huge first sack that was a driving Rams drive on top of it. It was on a third down. And we've talked about it. We should get Edgerrin Cooper in there more because it seems like when he's on the field,
he makes plays.
He's making plays.
Yep. And that's exactly what you have to have. It'll be fun to kind of see as we go forward through the season how everybody's roles on this team change and adjust.
We do still have a few weeks of figuring it out, right? Halloween's kind of that deadline of a team is a team now, right? I think it's Booger McFarlane who says, They take their masks off after. It's like a Halloween costume reference.
I've not heard that. That's a good one.
Yeah,
I like
so you,
that one.
You take your mask off and reveal who you really are after Halloween.
Sure. Well, Jordan Love better take his mask off and reveal that he's the quarterback of the second half from last year.
Well, but he's been pretty productive in the second halves of games.
But this is the last year in the first half, they couldn't score in first half of games.
Yes,
and then in the second half of games, they made adjustments, and then the offense moved. The difference was, after they got through that Steelers game, they were productive for four quarters.
He went after the pick six, the ugliest pick six you will see a Packer throw maybe ever. He went out and went 9-for-10 with two touchdowns in the next 10 throws. I mean, he figured it out. He fired it up, got Tucker Kraft a career day so far. I think that Jordan Love's fine. I'm not worried about him at all. He's not in any jeopardy of any case, and he's just gotta he's gotta find the zip in his ball again, though. It seems like a lot of off the back foot, and he's not really planted on the left leg.
He was going
maybe
off the back foot a majority of last year.
I understand.
He was going off back foot a ton last year.
Well, and that's
Everybody
why
was
you
making
get
completions, so nobody was talking about
it. Well, and that's why you get the nervousness in his deep ball sometime. And like you said, the Jaden Reed ball turned out to be a great throw. It was a bad decision.
That ball that he threw down the right sideline, he underthrew the ball.
Yeah, the Wicks one?
Yes, Wicks should have caught it. I agree. But if he hits him in stride, Wicks got his guy beat by, what, a yard and a half?
Yeah, he had him.
And he had to slow down and come back for it. Again, makes it a more difficult catch. I understand. If it hits you in the hand, you're supposed to catch it. I get it. I'm just saying that wasn't a good throw either. He underthrew him. So, yeah, I don't think he sucks. I don't think he's horrible. I don't think they shouldn't have paid him. So don't get me confused. But for this team to go to where they want to be, he has to get back to being the guy we saw in the second half last year.
You really
consistently.
You really don't think that we should talk about Romeo Doubs at all in this show? First instant reactions, just a one-word answer.
All right.
Do you think that he gained value or lost value today?
Yeah. All right, we'll talk about Romeo Doubs coming up next. Packers, they come up on the losing. And no, they didn't. They won. We've just been talking like they've been losing the whole game. 24-19, Packers over the Rams. It is the Green Bay Football postgame show driven by Young Express. Live from the Potawatomi Sportsbook Studios here on The Fan. Sparky with you.
Which drive was the most impressive by Green Bay today? Which was the most important? It's the Green Bay Football Postgame Show, driven by Young Express, with Steve Sparky Pfeiffer on The Fan.
24-19, Packers win. We've been on the air for about an hour. I feel like we lost, to be honest with you. And it's my doing. Shami's doing, because we've been highly critical and negative of this team since we've gotten on the air. But it didn't feel good watching this team. There are so many glaring holes and things that need to be fixed. But there was, of course, a drive of the game as we broadcast live from the Potawatomi Sportsbook Studios. Tommy Wirtz, I always let you pick drive of the game. What do you got today?
All right, let's get to our drive of the game. We have a couple of nice ones in there today, but I think the most important drive of the game was the first drive out of halftime for Green Bay. They had a great defensive drive in which they ended up causing a fumble. Thank you to Kingsley Anikbari.
Yep.
And then a very quick drive in which Josh Jacobs had a solid run to start it off, but then Tucker Kraft, the big play.
Wide open. He's got Kraft. His tight end's running with a stiff arm. Kraft's going the distance. Tucker Kraft.
They didn't surrender the lead after that. That got a big spark out of the offense. They needed it big time. It seemed like they were stalled after that awesome second drive of the game where they went 98 yards and got Josh Jacobs' first touchdown, which was awesome too. But the momentum was completely in their favor after that series of events between the first drive on defense and then a two-play 70 yards on offense. That's my drive of the game.
There he is, drive of the game, brought to you by our guy Tommy Wirtz. All right, so before the break, you wanted to talk about Romeo Doubs being suspended for the game and not being here.
Yes. I think that I would like to say this. I don't think that it was a bad move by Green Bay to suspend Romeo Doubs for a game. That's not what I'm going off of. But obviously Romeo Doubs airs out some dirty laundry and airs his frustrations out with Green Bay. And I think after this game, if we're looking about win now mentality,
yep,
Romeo Doubs by no means should consider himself the number one wide receiver on this team. But man, it would be awesome to have him out there as a second option. That's where I'm at. In no world should Jaden Reed be getting less touches than Romeo Doubs, but Romeo Doubs, I think, is a better receiver now than Dontayvion Wicks.
Okay, so first off, let me say that if we had a square pool going, everybody got a receiver, right? You throw in some money, and everybody had a square, and whoever they had, if that person ended up becoming the diva, I need more touches, I need more throws, one, I would not have wanted the Doubs square. If you would have told me, who do you think would lose their mind first over this and become the diva, he would have been the last guy I chose. He would have been the last guy I chose. Like, he seems to be, and clearly, maybe we were all wrong, but he seems to be, Dobbs does, a guy that's just kind of chilled out. Like, real mellow, not a ton of emotion.
It was very alarming, yes.
There's no way if you gave me the list of receivers, who will go diva first, he would have been last. There's no way I would have said Romeo Dobbs was going to go that way, the way he did.
And I think Green Bay had every right to bench him for the comments.
No, hold on. I'm not there yet. So, first of all, I was shocked that it was him, okay? Was I surprised that it happened? No, I figured one of them would at some point this year or next year. Somebody eventually be like, dude, I want to get paid here. I'm never going to get paid if we keep doing this crap. Now, first off, credit goes to Bill Huber, who broke this story. A-plus to Bill Huber. Nicely done. He broke it in front of everybody. I have no issue with them suspending him when, according to Huber, they go to his house and he's just sitting there. And his representation and all this are freaking out. They can't get a hold of him. And he's essentially pouting, according to the reports, is what it sounds like. Now, I have no problem suspending him. You had issues with Jair last year. You did what you had to do with him. And you came out on the other side and he was fine. There was a report earlier today. Packers were getting calls on Dobbs and wanting to see if they were interested in trading him. And according to reports, the Packers shut them all down and said, absolutely not, we're not trading him. It's not happening. Okay? So they're committed to him for sure. I would like to know from him, what exactly does he expect? Because I believe he was second in targets coming into this week.
Yeah.
What's the issue? What's the problem? Like, I don't quite understand what the issue is here. You're mad because Wicks had 13 targets last week, and now apparently it was going to be Wicks' week again this week, or Kraft's week this week, or Jaden Reed's week this week. I don't know. And see, for me, that's why it's hard for me to comment on it, because I don't know what his beef is. Maybe he's got beef. I don't know. Maybe he's got beef with Love. Maybe he's got beef with LaFleur. Maybe he's got beef with the offensive coordinator Stenovich. Maybe he's got beef with his wide receivers coach. I don't know where the issue is or who the beef is with. That's why I didn't feel like I wanted to really jump into this, because I don't know all the facts yet as far as what all triggered all of this. Because it just can't be you're not throwing me the ball enough. Dude, you're second in targets. What are you talking about? You're not fourth in targets or fifth in targets. You're freaking second.
Mm-hmm.
And if we talk about who he likes the most, all offseason, Love is doing this thing of pick your perfect lineup. He kept putting Dobbs in there with Tyreek Hill and all these other guys. There's Romeo Dobbs. Jordan Love kept picking him. So it's not like he doesn't like you. He clearly likes you, right? That's where my thing is, right? If Christian Watson, before he got hurt, would have said, hey, man, I'm not getting enough targets, I would have said, yeah, he's got a point. Yeah, he's not. Yeah. I get it.
Well, it's because Dobbs is playing the traditional X. You know, he's on the outside, right? So he's playing what the number one wide receiver's position typically is, right?
Right.
And so he's thinking he should be getting the attention that a Tyreek Hill, a Justin Jefferson might get. But he's not their most dynamic offensive weapon. He's just not. And if he thinks he is, then he's wrong. That is 100% Jaden Reed. He has that spot locked up for sure all of this year, but Jaden Reed's not going to line up outside. That's not what he does. That would be a shame on Matt LaFleur for using him ineffectively.
Jaden Reed's so good, though, man. He's really good.
So good.
Just saying, he's really good. Tony in Texas, you're next up here on the Green Bay Football Postgame Show, driven by Young Express here on The Fan. What's up?
Hey, Spark, I'm actually leaving the game right now in Inglewood. Hey, I got to say, though, the Packer fans brought it today.
That stadium looks awesome.
It is awesome. I had great seats, great section. I think it's the best stadium right after Lambeau that I've been to. It was
really?
Awesome experience. Oh, yeah. It's really cool. They got this whole, like, it's almost like they call it the biggest sports bar. They got all the games on, got the red zone going on all these screens during pregame. It's pretty cool.
Wow. Nice.
But, yeah, it's pretty badass. But going back to the game, I got to say right now, Tucker Kraft, Jaden Reed, Zach Tom, you got three Pro Bowlers right now in that offense. And that offense is ready to explode. Guys are wide open. I'm seeing the spark in live action. It's wide open. It's up to Love and these receivers to start making plays.
Yep.
And the offense is just – Love is a rhythm guy. He's just off here and there. And it, I don't know. What are you seeing on TV? It's just like he's off here and there.
Well, again, Tommy brought it up earlier. He's still kind of throwing off his back foot. That's still kind of part of it.
Go.
I mean, that first throw, when he missed that first throw, I was like, uh-oh. And because you're right away, you're just like, oh boy, here we go again. And he was missing throws. I mean, we talked about it earlier too. Wicks, that ball down the right sideline where Wicks had to come back for it. Yes, it went through his hands. Yes, he should have caught it. But if he hits him in stride, he had the DB beat by like a yard, yard and a half. Like, it never should have came to that, having him come back. The decision to throw that ball to Jaden Reed in the first quarter was stupid. Now, he completed it, but there are three DBs running with that dude. He never should have thrown that ball.
Oh, I was right on that side when I threw it up. When he threw it up there, I thought I was going to be picked by the safety. But somehow, some way, they don't have Xavier McKinney on their team. And that guy, is a pleasure to watch. If you go to a Packer game, watch that guy play center field. That guy is like watching prime Nick Collins, prime Charles Woodson. It is so fun to watch that guy play. Defensively, you guys hit the head with the defense with Cooper. That guy needs to get on the field. Bullard looked good. And they got to get a big, fat guy like Gilbert Brown, some guy to clog the middle.
They got one.
Fourth and one.
They got Slayton. Slayton should be the guy doing that. That should be T.J. Slayton. That's that big, wide-body guy that you got out there.
He's not doing the job. Fourth and one, I have no confidence will stop them.
Correct. I'm with you. I don't have any confidence either. But again, Brooks is undersized, right? Wooden isn't exactly gigantic. You lose a lot when those two guys are on the field, for sure.
Hey, so this time of the year, it's not exactly Packer football. It's December, you know, after Thanksgiving. Right now, it's almost like an NCAA tournament mode for me. Survive in advance, win these games, and just get hot at the end. I mean, the 49ers are 2-3. I think the NFC is going to get the representation out of the North this year. I really do. Between the Pack, the Vikings, and Lions, I would favor the Lions right now, Spark. And the Bucks are up big. What's going on with the Bucks game, Spark?
They look so good offensively.
Right.
Oh, my God, do they look good. But again, I mean, it's preseason and all of that, but when Lillard and Lopez and Trent were all out there and Torian Prince, did they look good. No Giannis, no Middleton, but they looked good offensively in the first quarter. Yeah, watching it on ESPN right now. My goodness.
All right,
Tony.
You got to be fired up for the Bucks.
Yeah, thanks, they look good. All right, thanks. Take care. There he is. See that? We get people calling in asking me about the Bucks game that you don't care about over there. Where
did they ask about how well Braden Arvison kicked in preseason? Did they ask about
that? No, Tony did not do that.
Because he doesn't care. Because it's preseason. No one's going to care about this Bucks preseason performance if they come out flat.
It's true. It didn't happen. Coming up next, we'll hear from Mason Crosby. We'll hear from Jordan Love. The Green Bay Packers, they get a win. And it was a beautiful thing. Not really. 24-19 over the LA Rams. Next up are the Cardinals. Tomorrow, 2-5. Green and Gold Monday. Wisconsin Sports Daily served up by Wendy's tomorrow. Myself and Charlie Usen producing the show. Looking forward to that. Take more of your calls, tweets, all that fun stuff coming up tomorrow. Up next, we'll hear from Jordan Love, Matt LaFleur, as we broadcast live from the Potawatomi Sportsbook Studios. Green Bay Football Postgame Show driven by Young Express here on The Fan.
Who was the most valuable player for Green Bay today?
Hold three. 1, 2, 3.
Who stood out the most?
Here we go!
It's time to announce the MVP of the game on the Green Bay Football Postgame Show driven by Young Express with Steve Sparky Pfeiffer on The Fan.
All right, Packers get the win over the Rams, 24-19, MVP of the game. I'll say Tucker Kraft, even though I know you're not going to agree, probably. 4 catches, 88 yards, 2 touchdowns, including the long one. What say you?
Throw up the X. Throw up the X.
I'm going Xavier McKinney.
Xavier McKinney, 100%. He takes away a third of all your plays because you can't throw it deep on us right now. You just cannot. His interception, the first drive of the game, he had the pass breakup.
Yep.
Right? I mean, he came from like 15, 20 yards away to make that play.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a play that doesn't show up in the box score, right? He had the interception again. He's the first player since the merger to have five games in a row with an interception for their new team. He's been an absolute stud all year. I don't think he's gotten this award from us yet.
Nope.
He needs it today. Xavier McKinney is my MVP.
All about it. Nah, that's fine too. So pick which one you want. I thought you were gonna go Evan Williams. So I'm glad you won Xavier McKinney because you've been on the Evan Williams bandwagon since we started the show.
Love me some Evan Williams. He's a stud. He's an absolute stud. And he's not he's not supposed to be. You know, Javon Bullard, and Javon Bullard, no shade on him at all. He's been great too.
Well, he's been covering wide receivers more than you've been playing safety.
But Evan Williams, oh gosh, I'm loving me some Evan Williams.
All right, speaking of love, Jordan Love today wasn't all the best in the whole wide world. Missed a bunch of throws. 15-26, 224, two touchdowns, one interception. Here is Jordan Love after the game.
There is a lot of stuff to clean up. It starts with you.
Let's be honest. I mean, you're the one driving the ship, Jordan Love. It starts and ends with you at the end of the day being that guy. And last year, in the beginning of the season, you know, you weren't that guy. But as I defended you time and time again on the Curry Long podcast, those receivers didn't know where they were going half the time. Rasheed Walker was a turnstile at left tackle for a good part of the beginning of that season. And there was all kinds of problems. You weren't the issue. You were the least of their concerns on offense at that point. Now that we know everybody has a better idea of what they're supposed to be doing and executing it better at this point, now when you make mistakes, now it is fair game. Not to say that you should be held to a Hall of Fame standard, because we're not going to hold you to a Hall of Fame standard. But you got to be able to hit guys wide open and do better. Missing throws like he's been missing throws the last 2 weeks. Now, again, you know, coming off of that knee injury and all of that, I understand. But he wasn't hitting throws in that Philly game either in week one, if we're being honest about Jordan Love. Right? He was missing throws there too. Ball was spraying all over the place. So he's had three games. This is his first win of the season. So congratulations to getting his first win of the season. That's good. But if you're going to compete for the NFC to go to the Super Bowl, he has to be much better. And thankfully, he's only played three games, and there's a long way to go in the season. He's got, 12 more games to play before we need to worry about what he looks like.
Well, and they got him the contract before the season.
I don't care about the contract. Yeah. No, I don't.
You have to care about the contract.
Contract, schmontract. It doesn't even matter to
you
me.
That's how you can become more critical, is the contract now makes you more critical.
I don't care about the contract. Whatever. I don't. If he was playing in a contract year and they didn't pay him, I'd have the exact same comments. All I care about is trying to figure out how you get better and how this offense gets to be where it has to be in order to, when you get to the playoffs, you're one of those teams that, hey, look, you better be worried about this Packers offense because they're going to be lethal and have a chance to go to the Super Bowl. Right now, with all due respect, I don't look at this Packers offense and go, oh boy, they're lethal. You can't. Not until he plays better at some point. Once he puts together one or two games in a row where you're like, okay, this is more like what we saw last year in the second half. Once we get to that point, then I will feel much better about things going forward. But right now, we're still not there.
No, we're not there. We are not there yet. But I also think there's flashes of it this year, much earlier than there was last year. And I also think that while Jordan Love hasn't played a full, complete game, he's still definitely made big-time throws. We've got big-time playmakers on the offense still. I mean, they were in a much worse spot last. They didn't get their third win until week 8 last year. Week 10? Yep. Weren't they 3-6 to start the year? Yeah, I mean, definitely not concerned about the Green Bay offense. I think that Matt LaFleur has only given me more faith in how smart of a play caller he is this year than last year.
He's good, no question. He tends to forget about the run when he has Jordan Love. I wish that stopped. He did the same thing last year. We didn't have that issue with Malik Willis, obviously, but he definitely did it again today where they were running the ball fairly well, and then he just went away from it. I said earlier on Twitter, I have concerns. We've been talking about it since we got on the air. Scotty Grant tweets at Sparky Radio, I'm concerned with the lack of pass rush. Also, the non-commit to the run. Jacobs has the ability to run on that defense for sure. Love played great after a poor decision in the first half on that interception. Where are you, 52?
Yeah.
We talked about Rashawn Gary.
Echoing it.
We've been talking about Rashawn Gary. And last week, somebody brought up the fact of maybe you cut Rashawn Gary and move on. No, you're not. No. Rashawn Gary, if you look at his contract, is not being removed from this team. Not trade, Maybe. I doubt it, though.
And they were missing Wyatt today, and he's been a stud, too, right? He's been probably the best player on the defensive line. He was inactive
but
today.
But if we're talking about Gary and cutting Gary or moving on from Gary, it's not till after next season, right? After 2025, then you can get out of that deal, save yourself a bunch of money, and move on if that's what you want to do, for sure. I would like to know what the issue is. Because did you see them doubling Rashawn Gary a lot? Did you see them doing anything to hold Rashawn Gary down? Never. I didn't see anything.
No, it was all one-on-one all day. We were whenever the Packers sent four, there was so many one-on-ones. I don't know if they won a single one-on-one today to get to the quarterback definitely not on their sacks. It was always free man. And all the QB hits, like I said, I would love to see the number on it on if they were counting it for screenplays because the Rams ran a ton of screenplays.
Yes, they did. Yep, no question. No question about that. Sean tweets at Sparky Radio. Bit concerned. Team gives off the vibe that they have, quote, arrived. Between how they treated preseason, LaFleur comments about love playing major role in decision to play when injured, and now the Romeo stuff, I worry about culture and mindset. The on-field stuff generally will shake itself out. If I had to pinpoint something on field, it's probably blocking and tackling not being good enough, though most fans of other teams would say the same. That's from Sean tweeting at Sparky Radio. What say you to that, Tommy?
I don't think there's a culture problem. Do you get that vibe of a culture problem?
I think the we've arrived thing could be a thing. I mean, if you go back and you listen to Love in the offseason talk about, kind of how he went about things, and he did different podcasts and so forth. He obviously knew who was running their mouth about him not being good and having to see more. And he kind of went back at all of them and pretty much said, well, yeah, guess you were wrong about that. Guess you were wrong about my team. Guess you were wrong about me. That type of stuff throughout the offseason. The one thing I don't worry about with Jordan Love is work ethic and commitment based on everything I've heard. So I don't worry about that. The whole we've arrived thing, yeah, there might be some of that after you beat the Cowboys in Dallas and have every opportunity to win that game against San Francisco. Remember, Carlson missed a kick in that game.
Yep.
And yes, Love made a horrible decision at the end of that game, too, throwing across his body across the field. I understand. So, yeah, there's probably some of that where you go to the playoffs that first year with this young group and you're feeling like, okay, this year we're coming back. We're going to go back to the playoffs, and this year we're going to make a run.
I mean, they're still the youngest team in the NFL. They were last year, and the Rams are still this year. Yes,
right?
That was the graphic today.
Yeah. So, and that's good, and that's fine. I've been yelling at the end of, what was it, Friday's show, I was yelling and screaming at Brewers fans. Because Brewers fans are losing their minds. I don't care about the regular season. Ah, la, 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 la. And I just said, listen, the Brewers are the Packers of last year. They were young core guys. Nobody expected them to win the division. Everybody had them at second to last or last in the NL Central, winning like 70, 75 games. They overcome all expectations, win the division, go to the playoffs, and they lose. And heartbreaking fashion. And I understand. But you are at the beginning of your window as far as how far this thing can go. Right? The Packers are at the beginning of their window with Jordan Love and this young receiving core and this young defense that's coming around as far as how long they can go. Both those organizations have, 5 to 7 years at least of where the window is open to try and win a championship. The Bucks, who are currently up 52-45 in the second right now against the Pistons, they're at the end of their window.
Yes.
Their window might slam shut after this year if they decide to move on from Brooke Lopez or if they decide to move on from Chris Middleton. Then it's all done. So they're at the end. So when they get to the playoffs, and if they get beat early, like keeps happening, then yes, you have every right to be mad and say, I don't care about the regular season and so forth. And I would probably agree with that. Yes, I would. I have the last couple of years. Who cares? Do something in the playoffs, please. That reaction I get. The Brewers stuff and the Packers stuff, no. It's a you have a gigantic window in front of you. You're going to be one of the most talented teams in baseball and in football kind of going forward here for a while. Just now you just have to take advantage of it, add the correct pieces, and go win the dang thing. That's what you want to do. Now, the Brewers have been through this a million times, right? Well, maybe not a million times, but you've been through it with the Yao Molitor 82 team. You couldn't get over the hump. At least you got there. The Braun Fielder Hart Hardy thing, that was a complete fiasco. You never even got there. But again, they got to the playoffs a couple of times, the Sabathia run, the Grinke run, all of that, but couldn't finish. And now you have another group here where you're going to see if this group can finish. Now, again, this different point is what? They've got young pitching coming in the minors. That Brewers team really didn't have any young pitching coming. Not only do they have that, they have more young hitting coming as well in the farm system over the next couple of years. So they're going to just continue to add to it. They got one of the best front offices in baseball. The Green Bay Packers have one of the best front offices in football and one of the best coaches in football. Both are set up for tremendous amounts of success.
Yes, and the Xavier McKinney addition, again, now you have him for 4 years. You have more playmakers on that defense this season than you did last year. That is all about the adding the correct pieces around it. He's looking like a move that is a correct piece to add around the formula you want to win.
And think about this. After this season, whatever happens, next year, Bullard's in his second year. Evan Williams is in his second year. Adrian Cooper is in his second year. You got guys now that are going to be playmakers this year that now will have a full season in the NFL, a full season in Halfley's system, that now next year, Halfley can expand the defense some more and trust that his guys are going to go out there. And what happens? They're going to play faster because they're not going to be thinking as much. So the defense should be even better next year, and then you're going to add a draft class to it. Maybe you add another free agent signing to it, to that defensive side of the ball. The offense will take another step. Like, we're talking about the future, yes. And when we talk about the present and getting frustrated by what we're seeing, just understand, grand scope of things here is this defense should improve throughout the year. Halfley should have more confidence in taking more gambles throughout the year as his guys know where they're supposed to be and he starts to learn his personnel a little bit better. And by the time you get to the postseason, hopefully they'll be able to start getting more consistent pressure because they'll understand what Jeff Halfley wants. That's the hope. However, coaching is not going to come into play necessarily if Jordan Love keeps missing guys open or underthrowing guys. That is where my biggest concern is.
Yes.
He has to play like he did in the second half for this team to compete for a Super Bowl. If he does not, and he plays like he's played so far, this team ain't winning nothing. Nothing this year.
Well, and it should show you, that everyone else who was the young piece last year, Jordan Love is not playing like he did in the second half last year. And they are in a much better position at the start of this year than they were last year at this point.
Yes, absolutely. No question about it. All right, come back. We'll hear from Packers head coach Matt LaFleur at his Green Bay football postgame show. Driven. Uh-oh. Gary Trent is hurt for the Bucs.
Oh, but they were up 20-3, Sparky.
I don't care about the score. I care concern about my starting shooting guard for this Bucs team right now. He's down, and I want to say he's holding his wrist. Doc's mad. I didn't see what happened, but Gary Trent is bent over at the waist, holding his wrist or his elbow. I can't figure out what it is, but it does not look good. So he's on the ground, so that's not good for Bucs fans. I'm sorry. Bucs get the win, however.
Packers.
Bucs, Brewers, Packers, they all come together. 24-19, Packers over the LA Rams. And don't forget about my fine folks over there in Young Express, looking for full-time independent contractors. Full-time. They're looking for local drivers that want to be full-time. You work with Young Express, right? Not necessarily for Young Express, because you're your own boss. So all you're doing is relying on their dispatch team, and their dispatch team is amazing. 24/7 dispatch, over 700 direct customers, extremely dedicated, take it very personal to keep drivers moving. They tell you where you're going, and then once you get to pick up and drop off, you call them back, and they tell you where to go next. Real simple. If you're not moving, you're not making money. That's why that dispatch team is your lifeline, right? That's everything for you. 99% no-touch freight, which means you can be a small dude like me and do this job with no problem. Freight is loaded and offloaded free, so all you have to do is drive. Join the Young Express team today. You can find them at youngexpress.com. That's JUNGExpress.com. Young Express, success drives them. It's the Green Bay Football Postgame Show, driven by Young Express, live from the Pottawatomie Sportsbook Studios here on 1250 AM The Fan. Sparky with you. Packers get the win 24-19 over the LA Rams. Jordan Love, a couple touchdown passes to Tucker Kraft. Josh Jacobs, first rushing touchdown for him this year. 19 carries for 73 yards. Xavier McKinney, 5 interceptions in 5 games. It's a beautiful thing as well. I said before the break that Gary Trent Jr. was down. It looks like it was his elbow that's an issue. So have to wait and see what happens. Boy, that would be horrible. If it's some type of long-term injury with his elbow, that is a gut punch to the Bucks, who, you know, again, in my opinion, stole him in the offseason for nothing if they were to lose him before the start of the season. All right, let's get to Packers head coach Matt LaFleur, who talked after this one a little bit earlier this evening after the Packers get the win in L.A. Now, again, they come back home. They get the Cardinals next week. That's a noon kick. Next week, looking forward to that. And then I believe it's the Texans after that, correct? I mean, that to me, these next couple of weeks here are interesting, because if Nico Collins is out for a substantial amount of time with that hamstring injury, the Packers don't got to worry about him. That's good. The Cardinals have Harrison Jr., obviously, and Wilson's an okay second wide receiver. And McBride's, you know, can be decent at tight end. But the Cardinals should not be a team that beats this Packers team at Lambeau, if we're being honest, right? And then the Texans, you just never know with CJ Stroud, you know how that looks. That Texans defense has not looked good though, so far this season. Yes, Mr. Tommy.
No, Harris. Yeah, I was just gonna agree with you. I think that you got three games before Detroit. You would love to go 2-1. You would love to go 3-0. You almost need to go 2-1.
Yeah, I would say so. I'm just, again, like I'm saying, I'm more about, I just want to see Love play better. That's really the main thing. I want to see Love play better, and I want to see this Packers pass rush figure it out. I want to see Rashawn Gary. You were talking about Love's contract earlier. I don't really care about that one. Not yet, at least. The Gary contract I care about, because you're paying him a lot of money, and he's not doing squat.
What about the Kenny Clark contract then,
yes,
too? Yeah, another
one. That one I
yes.
care about, too. Because, again, coming out of the offseason, it was, oh, boy. Kenny Clark's going to show how good he could have been in the 4-3, better than he was in the 3-4. And I remember saying on the air earlier this summer of, man, if this dude has like 12 or 13 sacks, you know how mad I'm going to be they didn't switch to a 4-3 sooner?
Yeah.
I'm going to be livid. He's worse in this defense than he was in the other defense.
No, Devontae Wyatt's the only improved player so far on the defensive front, at least.
Right, and that was expected too. People thought that him and Devontae Wyatt would step up and be big.
And Carl Brooks. Carl Brooks has had a great start, too. But he was underrated all last year, too.
Yes. And he had splash plays throughout the year, too. All right. Here is Matt LaFleur talking after a Packers 24-19 victory in L.A. Hold on. Stop. Time out. Stop. I swear to God, I can't get through a LaFleur interview or a presser without me having to say something. It is true that, yes, it takes 11 guys on each side of the field. It's not like basketball where a superstar player can carry a team through the regular season and so forth. Fine. I agree. But Matt, if Jordan Love isn't playing up to the standard that he played at in the second half last year, you're not going anywhere in the postseason. Simple. Now, if Jordan Love is playing up to the standard that he set in the second half of last year, and there's other factors of why you're not going, then fine. Then you can say, it's not just about one guy. It's about everybody, and there's other guys that aren't doing their jobs. Fine, you can have that take. But right now, he's not playing up to that level. That's why that question was asked to begin with. And with all due respect, I understand. You're protecting your guy. You're protecting your quarterback. But quarterback is the most important position in the game of football. Have there been exceptions to the rule over the course of time? Absolutely, right? The one that we all fall back on, Trent Dilfer, Ravens, best defense ever, and he didn't have to throw a ton of passes. Jamal Lewis was a great running back, and you didn't have to worry about that. Sure, yes, there are exceptions to the rule. Colin Kaepernick was good enough. Not good enough to win the whole thing, but good enough to get them there. Sure. Joe Flacco, for 1 year, was a Super Bowl-worthy quarterback. Got paid for it, which was good, but he's not a Hall of Famer or nothing like that, right? But in most situations, you have to have a Mahomes, a Brady, a Rodgers, a Favre, an Elway, whatever. And you can say, Rodgers only won one, Favre only won one. You'd be right. But this defense is not... The 85 Bears is not the Ray Lewis Ravens. None of that stuff. You have to score points with what you currently have. And Brian Gutekunst has given you the weapons to score points. You have to do your job at a high level in order for this football team to be able to go to a Super Bowl. So while I understand what he's saying, I disagree when we're talking about this individual player. All right, we'll move on.
All right, that's enough. I'm not going to play this whole thing. So there's Matt LaFleur, and he talked about Tommy Wirtz guy, Evan Williams, playing well today, Bullard being able to play down in the nickel, and I think probably that's where you want to see this whole thing go. If you don't know who Ross Uglum is, you should follow him on Twitter at Ross Uglum. He's very, very good. He's a football coach, a publisher of Packer Report, and does a great job. He tweeted out, quote tweeted from last week. Now, last week, Eric Stokes and Keyshawn Nixon in coverage against Minnesota. They were targeted 16 times between the two of them. 11 catches allowed, 69%. Today, against the Rams, 17 targets, so one more target. 11 completions, same amount. 65% allowed, so a little bit better. But Uglum points out they had four drops or overthrows, air by Stafford or the receivers. They forced one incompletion, which they didn't do last week either. Yards allowed, 93. Last week against Minnesota, they gave up 170. First downs allowed, 6. Last week, they gave up 7. They allowed one touchdown both weeks. A quarterback passer rating last week against the Vikings of 124.5 for Sam Darnold when throwing at Stokes or Keyshawn Nixon in that game. This week, throwing at Stokes or Keyshawn Nixon for Matthew Stafford, a quarterback rating of 98.4. Plus, they allowed 3 explosive plays of 15 yards or more in this game. So, technically, they got a smidgen better this week than they were last week, Tom.
Yeah, I think if when you're hearing that answer from Matt LaFleur, if I'm Eric Stokes, I am shaking in my boots right now, right? If they're going to plan, okay, let's see what Keyshawn can do outside. Bullard wasn't a liability watching this game today and made a couple of plays out there at the nickel. And Evan Williams absolutely earned playing time today as well, too. So, if they get a healthy Jair back, and they can get Valentine back in here. He's playing the number two. They're going to like Keyshawn or Bullard if they can rotate them at nickel with Evan Williams getting playing time. I mean, Eric Stokes is, he's got to show up pretty soon here. Otherwise, he's going to find himself not getting playing time as well.
I agree. I can't defend him getting playing time at this point. So, yes, I'm with you if that's what they decide to do. Quickly here, before we wrap this thing up, let's look around the NFL scoreboard. Vikings over the Jets. That was early this morning in London. Aaron Rodgers was not good and wasn't protected all that well, if we're being honest about this whole situation. Rodgers, 244 yards, 3 interceptions, 2 touchdowns. He had a passer rating of 54.9.
I don't even know how you throw that many passes for only 240 yards.
Gary Wilson, 101 yards, receiving on 13 catches. It was not pretty. Sam Darnold didn't do anything spectacular. He was 14 of 31, 179-yard passing, 1 interception, no touchdowns. He had a passer rating of 50, did Sam Darnold. So they did more than enough to beat the Minnesota Vikings. No question.
Yeah,
well, but Aaron Rodgers couldn't do anything.
It was former Badger, Andrew Van Ginkle.
Yes, that's going to be, again, Xavier McKinney's a stud, right?
Yeah.
But Van Ginkle for the Vikings is going to be their stud like McKinney is for the Packers.
He's so good. He's so good.
And the Dolphins didn't want him because he couldn't stay healthy in Miami. I mean, I understand why they gave up on him, but it's a big mistake.
That was his 6th career pick 6.
Yeah.
He's insane.
Yep. All right, let's look at some of the other games. Of note, the Bears just absolutely crushed the Carolina Panthers, 36 to 10 today. Caleb Williams continues to improve for the Bears, whether we like it or whether we don't like it. It's fact. If you go back and look, the 33rd team FB on Twitter puts together, this is a national website. This is not a Chicago website. So it goes through and it puts passer rating week to week. His passer rating week one was 55.7. In week two, it was 51. In week three, it was 80.8. Caleb Williams' passer rating last week was 106.6. Caleb Williams' passer rating today was 126.2 this week against the Panthers.
That's pretty good.
He's getting better. Now, again, the competition stunk. They were beat up on defense with Carolina, so you kind of knew that this was going to be a game where they could obviously run it up and score some points in this one for sure. 20-29, 304 yards for Caleb Williams, 2 touchdowns, no picks. DeAndre Swift now the last 2 weeks starting to pick up a little bit. Averaged less than 4 yards per carry, but 21 carries, 73 yards, and a touchdown. Rashawn Johnson, the other back, had 2 touchdowns for the Bears. DJ Moore, 105 yards and 2 touchdowns there as well. Other games of note, you and I were talking about it earlier. Ravens and Bengals go to overtime, and Lamar Jackson and the Ravens pick it off, mainly because the Bengals missed a kick. But Lamar Jackson, 348 yards throwing, 4 touchdowns, ran 12 times for 55 yards.
Yeah.
They win the game because in overtime, Derrick Henry ran off a 51-yard run to set up the game-winning field goal for them to win, correct? I believe that's
how that played out. Yeah, hell of a game. I mean, if that game was a playoff game, they'd be talking game of the year for it.
Yep.
That was a great game.
Yeah, no doubt. So that was a good game that everybody is talking about. Other games that kind of stood out as you look at it here. Today, Jaden Daniels, maybe not as good as he's been in the past, but they smoked Deshaun Watson and the Browns. I'm not sure how much longer Deshaun Watson keeps his job, even though he's making a ton of money. He's just not been good at all at this point.
I told you they were going to be sneaky at the beginning of the year. That was me on Washington.
Yeah, you were. You were all over it. Absolutely. Broncos hammer the Raiders, 34-18. Don't look now. Sean Payton has a rookie quarterback, and they're 3-2.
Yeah.
And again, it's not like, you know, week to week, Bo Nix is doing great things necessarily where he's like 350 and 4 touchdowns. Today, 206, 2 touchdowns, no interceptions, which obviously is good for him. Spreading the ball out all over the place in this one was Bo Nix. So they get the job done. Cardinals over the 49ers, 24-23. Big plays there. Brock Purdy throwing a late interception to seal it for the Cardinals. He had 2 picks in that game, did Brock Purdy, along with 1 touchdown. That was to George Kittle. Brandon Ayuk, 8 catches for 147. Debo Samuel only had 1 catch in that game for 11 yards. That was it. Jordan Mason, 14 carries for 89 yards. Packers get the Cardinals next week. Will now come into Lambeau at 2-3. Kyle Murray, 7 carries for 83 yards, including a 50-yard run in that game. 19 of 30 for 195, a touchdown and a pick there. Michael Wilson led them in receiving, 5 for 78. Trey McBride, 6 for 53. Marvin Harrison Jr., 2 catches, 36 yards. That's all he had. He was targeted 7 times, Tommy Wirtz. He only had 2 catches.
Yeah, I think the Cardinals are going to have to figure that out. But he's been a stud at a couple other games earlier this year. And I think the more important question that's been answered for them is Kyler Murray is their guy. That is their guy coming off the injury. Arizona is exceeding expectation. No one picking them to beat San Francisco in the division this year, and they're ahead of game, or they're tied up now
at
games.
If you look at the schedule now for the Packers up to the bye week, which is November 10th, home against the Cardinals, home against the Texans, then the Packers go to Jacksonville, who pulled out their first win of the year against Indianapolis today, then home against the Lions, a 3:25 kick against the Lions on the 3rd, then a bye week, then to the Bears, home versus San Francisco, home versus Miami, at Detroit, at Seattle, home versus the Saints, at the Vikings, home against the Bears to round out their schedule. If you look at these next 4 before the bye week, if you can go 3-1, you're sitting pretty at that point going into the break at 6-3.
I agree completely. And it's going to be the 2 games that you got to see are Houston and Detroit, right?
Correct.
Those are the higher tier.
Yep.
But again, now you just saw Arizona next week. Can't sleep on them. They just beat the 49ers this week. And who's to say Jacksonville, as terrible as Jacksonville's record has been, they have been in every single game.
Right.
And they have been losing by one possession if they're losing. And they earned a win today.
No doubt. And, you know, the other stretch here is going to be interesting is when they get to later in the schedule at the end of November, where they have 4 night games in a row, where it's Thanksgiving night home against the Dolphins. Then the following Thursday, they're at Detroit, a 7:15 start on Prime Video on a Thursday night. Then Sunday night football at Seattle. That's never easy. And then the following week, it's Monday night football home against the Saints. Now, by that time, who knows how good the Saints are. But either way, interesting schedule for the Packers, and they're doing very well right now. 3-2, and they didn't have Jordan Love for 2 of those games as they beat the Rams today 24-19. A beautiful, beautiful thing. if you are a fan of the Green Bay Packers. That'll do it for the Green Bay Football Postgame Show, driven by Young Express today. Thanks for tuning in as we've broadcasted live from the Pottawatomie Sportsbook Studios. Back at it tomorrow from 2 to 5 on Wisconsin Sports Daily, served up by Wendy's, myself, and Charlie Husen producing the show. Looking forward to that one. Enjoy the rest of your night. Have a good one. Toodles!
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law. It's better
over here. Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sportsbook on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.